Good morning and welcome to the roundtable for this Thursday, the 26th of February. And I was having trouble during the what we call the billboard because A, I had forgotten my glasses at my desk.
Oh.
And then there was the toner problem, which is we've taken care of. But together, I had no idea what I was saying.
Yeah, there are big streaks of nothingness through the script.
That's right. What is
the billboard?
A billboard is the... Well, go ahead, Ray.
Well, at the beginning of the show, between 9 o'clock and the news at 01, you talk and you say, here's what's coming up on the show.
And you have exactly 60 seconds to do it in.
You have such colorful terms in radio.
Billboard.
So cute.
Like 01, as Ray just said it.
Yes, 01. Yeah,
Most people don't know what 01 is.
Or 030 or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you want to talk up a record, it would back time a record to the top of the hour. And then if you want to talk it up, you have a certain amount of time before the singing starts to say, hey, the Monkees on 98.3, blah, blah, blah.
14 before...
This is highly skilled labor, I can say.
Well, absolutely. We seem like monkeys, but... And yet we are.
We seem like monkeys. We're often treated in commercial radio like monkeys. You know. Welcome to the roundtable. We have a great panel before us, and we're going to talk about some very interesting issues. We welcome your comments, roundtable at wamc.org. Roundtable at wamc.org. Just switched out, got a new script with actual ink. All right, joining us, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, how are you? I almost died on the way home yesterday.
How'd you die? Tell me the story about how you almost died.
Okay, I was coming up on Route 41 into Great Barrington, south into Great Barrington. There is a point at which, right down the street from Arlo's joint, church, there is a... there is a hoosie. What does that mean?
Keep talking, baby.
Oh, there's a hoosie. A stop sign for everybody.
A hoosie stop. A four-way stop.
Four-way stop. But yes. I'm allowed to go. No, I don't
Colorful
have a stop.
Language.
No, I don't have a stop because I'm on Route 41. That takes precedence.
Okay.
Except there was a line coming off Division Street, and somebody decided to be a cowboy. And as I'm looking out of the corner of my eye, I see this person about to hit me and slam into me. So I slammed on the brakes, lost a year of my life, moved to the right, okay. The car just yanked the car to the right.
Moved to the right. Well,
yeah,
well
moved
done.
To the right, yeah. And I lived another day. But I could, listen to this, folks, I or you, in that situation, could have been dead. You left this in the morning thinking that you would be alive at the end of the day, but you could have been dead, and people are dead all the time from those things. Don't you see?
Yeah.
So I think this.
I see he hijacked the introductions again.
Did I mess up?
No. I think it's great because it's like, "Hi, Alan. How are you? I almost died today."
Yeah, that's a good
answer.
So,
like, when I say to you, Rosemary, how are you? You say, "Oh, I have a caraway seed stuck in my plate." That's the kind of thing that we're going for.
Right, but I remember once when Roselle saved my life when I swallowed a big piece of lobster and did the Heimlich maneuver on me.
I remember that.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
But I didn't quite understand where all the letters to Roselle were saying, what'd you do that for?
What were you thinking? All right. Well, now the pressure's on. WAMC's Ray Graff is here.
Yeah, I have nothing. I'll hit the post. That's another radio chat if you...
Yeah. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah. I'm here. Let's just move it on.
A ray of sunshine. And Rosemary Armeo joins us as well. She is an investigative reporter. She is a professor at the State University of New York at Albany, where she teaches journalism. And it's a great pleasure to have her each and every morning on our program.
Thank you so much.
You're
let's
very
go.
Welcome. All right. Let's get going on with the stuff of the day. And we have some interesting stories to talk about, and I just want to remind people again, because we got a little waylaid there, but we're going to tell you that you can join us at wamc.org. So let's talk about, we've been skirting this issue, we've been talking about it, we've been mentioning it a little bit. Alan's been delving into this in our congressional corner and talking to our congressional representatives about this and getting various opinions, which I found to be fascinating. But the tensions between the White House and Benjamin Netanyahu is fascinating. And we have a story this morning about the new tensions erupt between the White House and Netanyahu and how they escalated on Wednesday as top administration officials condemned the Israeli prime minister's plan to address Congress next week. And Netanyahu accused six world powers, including the United States, of giving up their commitment to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. So this is like taking it to the next step, right? This is moving it up to a new level. We're not talking, like many arguments in a marriage, it's not about not taking out the garbage. Sometimes it goes to things that are a little bit further. And in this case,
yeah,
there's more gravitas to the issue, of course.
Well, of course, it started out that there was a debate over whether or not Boehner, whose name I sometimes mispronounce, whether Boehner, Speaker, and McConnell were right in inviting Netanyahu to speak to the United States Congress without talking first to the foreign policy director in chief, the president of the United States. That was disgusting to me. Now, look, I always give this one caveat. I'm Jewish. I feel strongly about the state of Israel. I think Netanyahu was wrong to accept. I think he was wrong to come. And I think certainly Boehner was wrong to make this invitation, because it is disrespectful of the president of the United States. Anybody wants to call me an anti-Semite, go ahead and do it. But I love Israel, and my Judaism is important to me. So this is not a good thing. And now I hate the idea that the whole thing has now been advanced to a policy issue, which it could have been without this unfortunate incident happening.
I agree with all that, but I want to play up the role of Susan Rice.
Sure.
How is this woman a diplomat? She just always seems to inflame things. Do you remember she was at the center of the Benghazi incident,
yeah, sure,
too?
Yeah.
With the talking points.
Right.
She was the spokesperson for that. And then their Congress is all upset. She goes into a meeting with Republican leaders, and they come out angry at her. More angry at her than they were when they went in. And now we have the same thing. She meets with her Israeli counterpart, and they come away with more bitter words. I'm just a little bit, I really would like to know what her role is. Is this what the president has her doing?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that question.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, first, there are two possibilities here. Possibility number one is that she is carrying the president's mail.
Right.
One would expect
that
you don't go and you just mouth off without having somebody say, oh, well, at least checking in with the president or his top people.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately think that that's the case. And I don't think it was wrong. You obviously don't want the president to do it, because that just inflames things in a way. You have a spokesperson do it.
Intermediary.
Yes. But if, in fact, it turns out that she's just running her mouth without having checked with the White House, that's a whole different story. And then I think maybe it's time to go.
But that's extremely unlikely, don't you think?
I think so.
I do. I think she's used that way by the president. But Netanyahu just keeps making misstep after misstep. So he's coming here at Boehner's invitation, annoying the Jewish lobby here, which is very powerful and important to him, and the White House. And then Democrats say, okay, well, since you're coming, why don't you have a meeting with us? And he turns them down too. He says that would be more bipartisan.
Yeah, he said it could quote, and I'm quoting the New York Times, could compound the misperception of partisanship regarding my upcoming visit.
Which is a shot at the president, because obviously the president has been saying, I'm not getting involved in Israeli politics a couple of weeks before an election.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated by something you just said, and obviously you've done your homework better than I have, because you know, you say the major Jewish organizations are embarrassed. Do we know this?
Yeah, several lobbies have been caught off guard by his coming. They've spoken out about it in a gentle way, of course, because they're in a terrible
position.
But what they're afraid of is that for the first time, you're making support of Israel a Republican issue, not bipartisan. It was all and as they've said, the Democrats that have been dissed have an impeccable record of voting on Israeli issues, on Israeli interests. Not good, not very good, impeccable. Mm-hmm. So why are you deliberately dissing them, disrespecting them?
Yeah.
I think Netanyahu is not a very good prime minister, I have to say. The Guardian and Al Jazeera today have come out with a bunch of leaked documents, sort of like WikiLeaks cable, and it shows some of the things he's been doing or Mossad has been doing. And it also does not look good for the way Israel is going about putting out its position on Iran. which is a legitimate position, but why are you doing it this way? So
let's take a break. We'll come back and continue. We'll have letters. We will talk about other issues, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break.
Support comes from Curtis Lumber, specializing in kitchen design featuring Cambria quartz countertops, Merlot cabinetry, and more. Designer consultations available, curtislumber.com. Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences, offering a bachelor's degree in health and human sciences for students interested in public health and healthcare policy. acphs.edu. And Stagecoach Tavern, Route 41, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Serving local seasonal fare Thursday through Sunday in a historic Stagecoach Inn. StagecoachTavern.net.
Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel, very spirited panel, and we're very excited about that, and they'll exhibit it and actually do it on air in just a moment. Listen. Roundtable at WAMC.org is where you can write your letter. Several people have already written, and they've written letters like this.
Yes. Okay. Somebody wrote this. Jim says, Democrats and all other members of Congress should boycott Netanyahu's address to Congress. Schumer and Gillibrand will attend, thus supporting a foreign leader instead of the president of the U.S. Senators Leahy and Sanders, as well as others, including VP Biden, will not attend. I resent a leader of a dependent foreign nation lecturing in our house. So far, so good. Now, here's the part I don't like. I'd like to add that after listening to the roundtable for many years, I find that almost every topic can be discussed, but criticism of Israel seems to be avoided, today being an exception. And what about yesterday? I mean, come on, don't make this stuff up. And some of Israel's policies are questionable, as Rosemary said.
Rosemary said, yesterday. Yeah.
Criticizing Israel doesn't mean you're anti-Semitic. I said the same thing
you did
this morning.
Settlements are wrong. I think Alan agrees with that. That doesn't mean you don't believe in the viability and the right to exist of Israel.
And John says, I think it's time we stop criticizing, quote, Israel. What we really, in capital letters, mean is the Likud Party. Despite what Netanyahu wants everyone to believe, the Likud is not Israel, nor is the Likud Judaism. And that's from John.
Well, that's crazy. That's like saying, you know, blaming Republicans and or Democrats for whatever you don't like about the United States. That's the ruling party, and he is the ruler, and that stands for Israel.
It's the ruling party. Yeah. You know, a very good friend of mine made a point recently, said, what if Netanyahu really believes that just the possibility of the Iranians getting the bomb is so crucial to the existence of Israel that this is what he has to do. He says he's going out to do this despite all of the criticism. The problem, of course, is what if he says the same thing about, I want to build more housing where many American Jews do not think he should have built other settlements, and says, well, that's for the future of Israel also. So that if his mindset is that anything that he wants or thinks
for the future
is for the future of Israel, that becomes
This was Ray's point. Talk about that, right?
Oh, Ray said it? I just said a very good friend of mine.
I don't know if it was the same one.
Let's make a hypothetical.
Yeah.
Alan is the leader of a small nation surrounded by enemies. And Alan thinks that a current deal with an enemy, six, let's say six other big countries are involved in this deal, and Allen is convinced that this deal, if it goes down, spells the end of Allenland, and he can't get through to the foreign policy wing of this country, but he feels he has to make his case, then shouldn't he do what he has to do to save himself and his country?
Well, it's a very interesting question about Allenland, and I don't find the whole concept of Allenland unappealing.
No, I bet.
But obviously, this is in the mind of the beholder. You can't tell me that Netanyahu or his people can't get through to somebody, a high-ranking State Department person or somebody else. You just can't tell me that because I don't believe it. Now, if he thinks that the only way to get through is to speak to the Republican Congress and tick off a lot of people, I think that's a whole different thing. And I think he's made, as Rosemary says, a mistake here. I think it's a mistake for the state of Israel. I think it puts it in a bad spot with Americans and with many Americans, many of whom love Israel. They think it's really the bastion of democracy that exists in a world of terror. Well, I know you don't agree with that, but
I don't, and I don't like Netanyahu, but I will be listening to a speech, and I think that the other congressmen who are doing it for symbolic reasons walking out ought to listen, because it might be what Ray says. He may be making an incredible appeal, and I want to hear that, but it better be a really darn good speech.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right, we're out of time for this break. We're going to go to the. I have to talk up to the post.
Yeah, talk. Hit the post, baby.
Thank you very much.
Hit the O1.
Can you do it like Wolfman Jack?
Hit the O1.
We know, as you know, the famous story. Wolfman
Jack. You talked to him, and then he dropped dead.
That's right.
During the conversation,
during the interview. That's right. So
what interview?
Wouldn't be the first or last time.
I was interviewing Wolfman Jack, and he died during the interview.
No.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's true.
That is a terrific story.
All right. Well,
not for him.
Or a sad one.
Yeah. It didn't turn out great for Wolfman Jack. We'll tell you other tales out of school and talk about tales in school and even do this as I try to hit the post. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC, Northeast Public Radio. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Let me reintroduce the panel to you just so you can keep score at home with 3 points and in the lead, Rosemary Armeo.
She always wins.
I don't agree.
Our SUNY.
I think I'm winning.
Albany
You're
going to
make Allen come after me with that.
I know. Okay.
That's exactly what he wants to do.
We'll call it a draw then, all right?
No.
You're tied.
No, that's not okay.
Ray Graff. WAMC's Ray Graff here. And no, I was just trying to figure out how many points Ray had. I don't know.
Negative. negative 37. Yeah.
And with 750,000 points, Dr. Alan Chartok, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Let's start. Do you want to get to more letters and then?
Yeah, if I can figure out how to work this thing. All okay. Right. John says, I was born well after World War II, and I, for one, I'm sick of defending Israel bullies in the Middle East. They don't seem to want to find a solution to seemingly endless conflict with their neighbors. This position is becoming increasingly dangerous to the U.S. I imagine as time goes on, their T-H-E-R-E, will be less support for them if they continue along their current path. I don't agree with that, but that's what he said, and I'm just reading that. Regarding the Wolfman Jack story, Joe is there. Any chance you could interview Hannity, O'Reilly, Limbaugh, and Beth in the near future?
That's me.
I like it. Okay, and let's see here. No, that's wrong. Rich, Obama should counter the Israeli leader with a speech of his own. The Republicans need to be put in their place. Money can't buy everything. The present leader of Israel is no Golda Meir. And if Democrats were, says Mark, in control of Congress and they invited a world leader to speak without informing the White House, then the Republicans would cry foul and label such a move as un-American. Shouldn't the Democrats do the same and call out the Republicans as un-American for such obvious display of disrespect towards the White House? Then there was somebody who wrote to Joe who said, can you play the Wolfman interview? But it turns out, Joe, that you did it not here, but much earlier on a different station.
It was, right, and we didn't, it was live, and yeah. It wasn't taped, and there you go.
Can you recreate it?
Yeah, I have an old cassette tape. I'd have to go find it, though.
So he just stopped in mid-sentence?
He stopped talking. I did not know until later that he had passed.
Really?
Yeah.
So what was the final question?
I don't remember.
Really?
I mean, I saw something about like then you went to Detroit, and how was Detroit?
And then pause.
There must have been something bad that happened in Detroit.
You're doing Kafka again?
Well, because one morning they came to take him away.
That's right.
Right. Tom says, talk about gravitas for Netanyahu to come into our Congress chambers and tell we, the Americans, what we need to do, we are doing wrong, is simply arrogant. It is the same old gripe, but don't change. Israel became a nation in 1948. You're telling me that if there was true interest in peace, it would not have been struck by now. I think that Netanyahu and the Likud party are more interested in maintaining the status quo of unrest than making Israel safe in its community for the long run. Narcissa says, as I heard letters with the usual sentiment that criticism of Israel is not anti-Semitic, I would like to offer a corollary statement. Support for the state of Israel does not mean you support the continued statelessness of Palestine or the settler agenda. And Emily says, I heard Alan defend his criticism of the Israel prime minister. Call me anti-Semite. I know he was being sarcastic, or should I say ironic, but I can spell facetious. But can we please stop equating criticism of Israel and or its government with anti-Semitism? I think Emily, that's the point I was trying to make by saying that. I am also Jewish by birth, not by religious practice, and I was brought up to be very critical of Israel's policies towards Palestine by both my Jewish parents. It is possible not to be a Zionist, but also not to be a racist. It says, Michael, there's no political basis for any of the Republican moves. It's a deep personal hatred of Barack Obama that's been obvious from the beginning. And Michael says, any chance you could address the impact of the State Financial Restructuring Board giving Albany $5 million in today's news that financially strapped Troy is set to go before the board? Local budgets are critical issues and would seem suited for the panel's expertise.
We're taking requests now.
Yeah.
Well, we do
from
time to time. The lunch at the front porch in Copaig is roasted turkey, bacon, tomato, John is back again. Okay, we did that already. You get one bite of the apple here, folks. Denise says, good for Susan Rice, who, clearly speaking for a boss, BB needs to be harshly criticized for his patently obvious attempt to do an end run around the POTUS to shove his...
POTUS.
No, I wasn't. To shove
his POV about Iran.
Point of view.
Well, don't do that, folks. Just don't do that. You know, I'm a limited person. I was born early, so don't do that. And at the same time, attempting to enhance his election chances in Israel, I support congresspeople boycotting speech. I wish our New York reps would not attend. So that's an interesting question. If your representative doesn't attend and you feel very, very, very deeply about Israel, does this rise to the point where you might not vote for them in the future? Do you see my point?
Yeah.
Whereas there are people who think critically about a lot of things, would it be as important to them as it is to the people who are on the other side? Because believe me, politicians stand there with their fingers up in the air, seeing which way the wind is blowing and what they have to win or lose. I don't think there's any question about that. So anyway, Jeff wants to check in on net neutrality. It's which he considers a lose-lose scenario. Internet fast lanes would make the web, as it is now, a luxury for the rich. FCC regulation will inevitably lead to censorship of our greatest resource for speech and information. Maybe we'll all make the switch to deep web browsing when that happens. And on and on. So I guess that's what I got. Joe, did you see something else?
No, I think you got them all.
Okay.
Very good. We are always eager to hear what you have to say. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and let's move on with other issues that we can talk about, including the ISIS plot that was foiled. Mm-hmm. Three Brooklyn men accused of plot to aid ISIS's fight. Two young men living in Brooklyn were arrested on Wednesday and charged with plotting to travel thousands of miles to fight under the banner of the Islamic State, the terrorist organization that has seized a wide expanse of Syria and Iraq. A third Brooklyn man was charged with helping organize and fund their activities. Even as the Islamic State has been waging a brutal war in the Middle East, it has been spearheading an aggressive campaign to recruit Muslims to its cause using social media to target young people across the world. And the story coming out of New York City is that this was happening in Brooklyn.
Now, what exactly did they do that wasn't just verbal? I'm trying to figure this out.
Nothing I can say.
So you can't say anything anymore, eh?
Apocalyptic messages.
This is
all three were immigrants from former Soviet republics. In online postings, the two younger men seem to be searching for meaning in their lives and increasingly disillusioned by those around them. The case against the three men, in part on a confidential informant paid by the government, court documents show. Defense lawyers have criticized the government's use of informers in similar cases, saying they may lure targets into making extreme plans or statements, and in some cases, the threat has turned out to be overstated. In other words, you brag and say, hey, maybe I could do this, this, and this, and then they get you.
It's a hard thing because if you say, wow, I think maybe Homeland Security has a vested interest in us thinking that there are lone wolves among us and they have to be on the alert. They have a vested interest in that.
Well, clearly there are lone wolves among us.
Well, if you say that and something happens.
Rex, your name is Ray. I was going to agree with you about that.
What?
I think it's overblown. I'll go right
out.
I think the threat arresting these guys who are they're clueless. They're,
well, I think it's that's a separate issue. I mean, clearly, if you look at the Boston Marathon bombings, there you go. But did these guys do anything?
We're mixing them. We're mixing them in together. This is supposed to be seen as this big terrifying threat.
Well, here's the terrifying.
Three guys in Brooklyn did this.
Here's a terrifying situation for law enforcement. Okay, you let it go too far. As what happened in Boston last year, and bad things happen. You go too early, and then you're trampling on rights, which it looks like there may be some of that going on.
I would point out, Ray, that it was not just aspirational. It wasn't just verbal in Boston. You found out later that those guys were implicated in a murder that had not been thoroughly investigated. Remember that?
It was clearly more than aspirational because they killed people. No, I'm talking about this situation, the law enforcement says their threats of violence had an aspirational quality to them, according
meaning
to law enforcement.
Meaning they had done nothing. There was no plan. There were no bomb making. So it was nothing set up. I think we are overemphasizing the danger. And I realize that saying that, I'm going to get all these letters saying, oh, if something happened, you'd feel bad. Of course I would. But we have to have police and officials who can make real estimates of what's real and what's not.
But don't you see, before, at income tax time now, there's always an arrest of several people for not doing their income taxes for past years. It's basically a warning. Get your income tax in and do it. And I think that the same thing exists here. Look, this country was clearly wrong in putting all Japanese into Korematsu versus the United States into camps. But they did it because we were at war. It was a terrible situation, and they decided that civil liberties. I find it really awful. Was worth it. Now I think the same thing is going on here, Ray and Rosemary. I think what they're doing now is they are putting everybody on warning. That's what's happening.
Too bad for the three men who've been arrested.
Well, we don't know the whole story with
not
these three men either. I mean, there will be more news to follow. But it seems to me that if, in fact, they have done nothing at this point other than, making a threat against the president of the United States, that's a crime.
It's unclear what exactly they did.
Shouldn't they keep an eye on them? Obviously, they have good intelligence. Shouldn't they just keep watching?
Put them on a no-fly and just keep going. Which is why they did it now. You see, that's my point. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they did it now because we're decoding all of these messages, from the leaders of these groups saying, okay, kids, go out and kill somebody. Mm-hmm. They want to strike back. They want to say no. Nobody's going to be allowed to talk that way.
But then you get into to the whole thought police aspect.
Indeed you do.
And that's a danger to liberty.
Yes.
Yep.
It's always a balance. Always. There are civil libertarians who believe very strongly you don't want to do that. On the other hand, right down the street here, you may remember many years ago there was a question of selling Stinger missiles. Remember that?
But it was also a sting operation.
That's right. Yeah. It was. That's my whole
highly
point.
Highly controversial whether those men were entrapped.
Well, they got, entrapment is such an interesting word.
Right.
I worked for a congressman who was called into a motel and offered a bribe by the FBI dressed as a sheik. And they make crimes happen.
Right.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
And by the way, they'll never do that abscam stuff again, ever.
That's a good thing.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We'll move on to other topics as well. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Unusual Wedding Rings and More in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield, a jewelry emporium providing traditional and non-traditional engagement, wedding, and anniversary rings for conventional and same-sex couples. UnusualWeddingRings.com. And Albany Marriott, with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation. Facebook, Twitter, or albanymarriott.com.
Know who the bass player is, Dave? Oh, you don't know. Okay.
Okay.
What were we listening to?
Alan wanted to know who the bass player was.
Yeah, I just thought it was great stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was a group
good
effort.
Stuff for this morning.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I thought it was great. Go ahead.
Okay, so Irene says, Westchester County legislators are considering a vote to raise the smoking age to 21. Dangers are everywhere.
Dangers to liberty or dangers to secondhand smoke?
To liberty
danger to health
smoke.
Versus danger to liberty.
Yeah. Do you have a problem with this?
No. And everything.
No, yeah. You know, we have a spot out in front of WMC, way out by the curb, which I once took purple chalk and outlined and said, this is where you go if you because otherwise you're contaminating us. And they don't go there. They don't go there.
No, and then they built a shelter, which was very nice.
And then there's the David shelter right out there.
The bus stop, you mean.
Yes, the bus stop.
Yeah, and people's... And they're big signs
there,
don't smoke in there.
Video?
Yeah.
Terminals?
Stuff, it's all good.
Yeah.
Two of these guys, says Jules, were arrested as they tried to board flights to join ISIS. How is that aspirational?
Huh. Make a point.
They were on a flight to Istanbul. That's not the same as joining ISIS.
You think they were going down there to see the sights?
Were they on the no-fly list?
No.
All right.
And you have to take your shoes off. Amazing.
And Bonnie says, didn't one of these three say to the FBI, we don't know whether he said, to say he'd kill POTUS if ISIS told him to?
Yeah, we just talked about that.
Yeah.
Okay. And Terrence said, on this, Dr. Shartok and I agree. It's not that difficult to use whole words instead of initialisms.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I like initialisms.
WTF.
Williamstown Theater Festival.
That's right. Well played, old boy.
And Margaret, what did she say? You say the three men in Brooklyn who are incompetent were arrested as a warning. Meanwhile, corrupt legislators have been arrested as long as I can remember. It still continues. Ah, but you don't know the rate at which it continues. Get it? Don't you understand? Or as Festus would say, don't you see? Don't you see?
I'm not sure I'm clear as to
your
point.
She's saying, all right, let me read this to you again.
All right.
It's a very interesting letter. You say the three men in Brooklyn who are incompetent were arrested as a warning. That's correct. That's what I said. Meanwhile, from the school of, I'm putting this in, three or four or five wrongs make a right. Meanwhile, corrupt legislators have been arrested as long as I can remember, and it still continues. My point is, what is the rate of the continuation? As they haul away Shelley Silver in handcuffs. And then you see, inexplicably to me, Jeff Klein, the leader of the Senate Democratic dissidents, giving up his law practice altogether. Is there a reason for that? I mean, so in other words, I reject out of hand Margaret's thought that since legislators are arrested, that other legislators continue, but we don't know the rate of continuance. Don't you see?
Sure.
That's a condescending sure?
No.
Yeah, I think it was
We're
a condescending.
With you.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Can we move on?
Is it a shot?
No.
All right. We're gonna go to the grand jury and see whether that was a shot or not. And we'll take a break. We'll come back. Did we just take a break? We just take a break.
Wishful thinking, eh?
I do that all the time on Vox Pop. Did we take a break?
Yeah. Silly me. All right. Let's.
One thing this show needs is more breaks, obviously.
All right. Let's go back to the topics at hand.
Grand jury, something about grand jury.
Yes, no, it was funny because Rosemary gave me, let's go to the next topic, and then I thought I could buy myself some time. All right, do you have the next story there?
I do indeed, my friend. With marijuana legalization, green rush is on in D.C., saith the Washington Post. As Thursday dawns on the nation's capital, marijuana will be a legal intoxicant, though Washington will not be Amsterdam or even Denver. There'll be no pot shops, no open-air smoking, but at least for the moment, the district, for once in its decades-long struggle for the right to govern itself, has gotten its way, and a green rush is on. Panel.
What are you allowed to do? You're allowed to smoke in your own home. You're not allowed to smoke in a public place or in a state place.
But you can buy it legally. I mean, it's the same thing with alcohol. You can buy it, but you can buy it legally. You can go home and smoke it legally. There are places where you can consume it legally. And the
Congress, obviously.
No, well, the point of that article, though, is also that this really strengthens the debate, but also brings it into more of a global conversation, not just in these areas.
This
of
is
Colorado.
Feeling really old hat to me. It's like gay marriage. We're there. Society has changed. We're for
no,
it,
we're not
and
there
it's
yet.
Same with legalization of marijuana.
But we're gonna have
it's
to work.
Happening.
We don't think we're gonna there. Have to work.
But this is a much bigger story from a this is a federal. District. This is not a state. This is a federal district.
Which needs home rule. We all know that. Okay, so let me just say, making a conclusive argument to end all of this. Donald Trump announced this morning that he's running for president.
Why are we bringing that up?
Because that is always followed by the following statement. What's he smoking?
Got it.
Well, I really do think, yes, we'll drag it out. We'll have all these stupid debates. But eventually, marijuana is going to be legalized. The rules are going to be loosened everywhere in this country. We're already headed that way. This is kind of painful to watch. Republicans don't want to be anti-pot. Who wants to be anti-pot? You know how many votes you're going to lose with that kind of stance?
Yeah, it passed, 70% in D.C. voted for it.
Ah. There you go.
Well, you know, let me take the con.
Okay,
Let me take the con just for the heck of it.
People have spoken.
We sit here and we talk about every day about smoking and the evils of smoking, right? We have had such very good guests as Jennifer Michaels, the outstanding psychiatrist in charge of the medical director at the Breen Center in Pittsfield, saying, well, look, she knows, and boy, she gets into trouble for it, that marijuana is a gateway drug, for whatever it's worth, okay? We're arguing on the one hand, no smoking, and on the other hand, we are arguing, now, if you think
We're not saying ban tobacco. We're saying, you know, a wise choice would be not to do it. Yeah, he would be. Yeah. But that's not the same.
Sure
we're not saying marijuana is probably not good for you. Be careful. Go easy on it. We're saying you may not have it and you'll go to jail if
No. You get me wrong. I am for the legalization of marijuana. I was just trying to raise the con with you that sooner or later, somebody's going to say there's a certain amount of hypocrisy here. We're unloading on smoking. And yet, on the other hand, there are many of us, many liberal-type people, who are saying the quite opposite about marijuana. This thing, which certainly you put it into your lungs, it can't help you, can it?
Well, it doesn't have the same properties, obviously, and the same additives as
tobacco
and cigarettes. I don't know. I have real problems with this one because I I understand. I think the way we're doing it and the way that it's happening of using two states now and the District of Columbia's test sites to see
and
how
Alaska.
It's working, and Alaska, that to see how it goes. But I don't think the data is in on that yet. I don't think we know how it's going. And before
what data are we looking for?
Well,
we know that alcohol and tobacco is bad for you. We allow people to make their own decisions.
No. I'm
Why
talking
would we
about
not
the
for
government.
Pot?
I'm talking about the state governments running it, where the money's going, how it's being regulated, who's growing it, who is growing it for who, how
whether
it is being distributed,
how
where
traffic
are the
laws
going.
Are being enforced, how many new kids are trying
right.
it.
How many people are coming into the state and
so we don't know yet.
Right. And I think there are a lot of issues.
I'd
that
like
have
to be
cleared.
Part of that experiment. I think a trip to Alaska, look at the mountains, you know, get a little high. And
so you go and you look at the mountains and say, whoa,
yeah,
look at that mountain.
I think I'd like to be part
Talk
of that.
Talk about investigative journalism, eh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yeah,
well. Maureen Dowd did it.
Yeah, that was an awful story.
William F. Buckley went out to international waters to smoke up. That's a legendary story.
Yes.
Yeah. Imagine that. Put on the Quicksilver
like
messenger
I,
service.
Like I say, not shocking. You know, I think if Clinton were running, he could even admit he inhaled. It's just not shocking anymore. We have moved on as a society.
I think you're being premature.
I believe you are, too.
Whatever it's worth, Leslie said, why are we having press conferences for each band of terrorist wannabes? We're a country of 350 million people. Why do we elevate a few losers to the level of consuming the thoughts of an entire nation?
What? Rosemary just shrugged her shoulders. I don't know.
I mean, this is an idea that if you somehow give publicity and glorify people who do bad things, like a lot of readers were upset to see stories about that guy who went into the theater in Aurora and shot up everybody, that somehow glorified him.
The real
news.
Question is, do you find that by doing it, you get replication as a result of giving it?
Look, what happened.
News people have stopped. Doing every bomb threat because all it does
we,
is get
we never
bomb
did
threats.
Every bomb threat. But here's the other thing. For years, we were told, I always fought this, that we couldn't write about suicide because that would bring on copycats. Don't write about young kids doing it. It'll happen over and over again. And now you heard the Academy Award. People after people who are involved with people with relatives who commit suicide say we need to talk about this.
Yeah,
nothing gets solved by not talking,
ignoring it.
We are out of time. So we'll end there, but thank you very much. And we'll be back tomorrow with this exact grouping, and we'll be back tomorrow for more conversation. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this.